Welcome back. What's going on? A tremendous Thursday to you. I feel great. I'm Jim Rome. We're talking NBA playoffs. And when we talk NBA playoffs, this is one of the first guys that I look for every single year. A 14-year NBA vet, a two-time NBA champion, a slam dunk champion, an NBA on TNT analyst. Brent Berry is going to join Ian Eagle on the call of Game 4 between the Blazers and Pelicans Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern on TNT. Remember, TNT is going to air more than 40 NBA playoff games, the most of any network. It's highlighted by exclusive coverage of the 2018 Western Conference Finals. Brent Berry is my guest. Brent, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Hey, Romy, how are you? Long time, hoping you're well, and thanks for a couple of minutes here. I appreciate it.
No, Brent, thank you for a couple of minutes. I'm doing great. I hope you and yours are, too. You're on the call for Game 2 of the Blazers-Pelicans. Brent, how impressed, let me start with the Pelicans themselves, how impressed have you been with the way New Orleans has shown up in this series on both ends of the floor?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I think about after Game 1 was the anomaly that was 3 points for Lillard and McCollum. I mean, it's just something that has never happened and probably will never happen again. And New Orleans did a great job of just taking advantage of an opportunity to seize control of the series. But game two, as much as people like to use the cliche about stealing games, which doesn't happen, game two, what New Orleans was able to do and the way that they were able to go about it was really impressive. Just controlled the tempo, controlled the pace, forced Portland to play a lot sooner and quicker in the shot clock, which leads into their hands because they lead the league in pace. And Drew Holiday, by the way, is introducing himself to the national stage to let people know just how good he is and how good he's been this season. He was fantastic.
Drew Holiday's been amazing so far. Now, if you're Terry Stotts and you're the Blazers, what is the most important thing you're looking to do right now to get back in this thing?
I think, Jim, what's been a little curious is that Shabazz Napier had played 55 games this year and had a remarkable run when it was that Damian Lillard had a hamstring injury in the middle of December. Napier came in, averaged 14 points, sort of headed up the offense, and then they got to a point in the second half of the year when they really started rolling during that 13-game streak where Napier would play alongside McCollum and Lillard. And Napier didn't get off the bench in game two, played very sparingly in game one, and I wonder if Terry Stotts is just considering what kind of minutes he could give to Napier, especially if New Orleans plays a lineup where all of a sudden they go to Darius Miller at the point guard. Certainly could play off of Rondo and force him to shoot, but it's a card that he hasn't played yet, and it's one that they played a lot during the regular season. So maybe a little more quickness, a few more angles, and force some mismatches on New Orleans, at least defensively, where Lillard then slides over to the three, or McCollum's at your three, basically, in the three-guard lineup, and he tries to do something that way.
Brent Berry joins us. All right, Brent, shift over to the Cavaliers for a minute, if you would. Ty Lue said in the build-up to Game 2 that LeBron had to be a lot more aggressive, so LeBron goes out there. He scores 60 in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It turns in that vintage LeBron performance, so I guess that was more aggressive. What do you make, though, Brent, of this guy doing things like that 15 years in?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to think that you keep talking about, well, LeBron's going to have one of those games, and he goes out and he has one of those games. And the guy is just, I mean, he really is remarkable and should be appreciated for what it is that he's not only doing now, but what he's done in the league. I guess the curious part, Jim, you got to think about is how much investment does the Cleveland Cavalier roster, the way it's constructed right now, how much of an investment do they have in what it is that's at stake for this season, LeBron, Ty Lue, trying to get back into the finals again, and not having the time they've had together, making a mid-season shift, and really not having practice time and having Kevin Love in the fold because of the hand injury, how much can they get accomplished? Because on the other side of the things, you see exactly how Nate McMillan is treating his team, a team that had a training camp, a team that knows where it's built on, Oladipo's efforts and athleticism and Sabonis' rebounding and Miles Turner's versatility. They're just digging into more of what it is that they've been about this year. And the Cavs, in a game two, had to just go back to the, in case of emergency, break LeBron glass. And that's problematic for the rest of, you know, your rest of your series run. If you get out of this one and you're trying to get through the East, is, yeah, LeBron can do it, but how many times, honestly, how many times can he pull it off?
And I know better than to say that they had a chance to steal that game because, as you said, Brent, you can't steal games, and especially this time of year. But even Oladipo had that look at that three-point shot late in that game that would have tied it.
All right, so I think we were all shocked he missed it. You know, like he's been so good, like couldn't believe that he missed it. But, yeah, like I said, Indiana showing itself, showing it's a fighting team, that Nate's done a good job. He has their ear, and they're playing with a tremendous amount of effort behind the leadership of Oladipo.
And they've taken on Nate's personality, to be sure. Brent Berry joining us. Brent, what about Oklahoma City? They win the series opener, then they lose game two in Utah last night. And one of the talking points all year long has been whether OKC's big three of Westbrook, George, and Anthony would be able to flip the switch in the postseason. You've done this. So where do you come out on this notion of the switch? Does it really exist? Can you just turn it on when you have to, Brent? Or is it something that you have to develop over the course of the season?
Yeah, I don't believe it's even a season thing, to be honest with you, Jim. I think a flip switching happens when you've got a team that's had 3 and 4 years of experience, where they've been somewhere together, where they collectively have been scarred up a little bit, and then collectively have come back from that. And so I don't put OKC in that category whatsoever. OKC is a puncher's chance team. And if they have to rely on somebody going nuts, which is most of the time going to be Westbrook, or in game one, it's Paul George setting a playoff record. We were there for that game. He knocked down 8 threes, 4 of which were incredibly difficult, and they just rode the wave of that. And you could kind of see the Utah Jazz and Quinn Snyder going, yeah, all right, if it's going to be one of those things where we got to have record-setting performances to beat us, we'll take it, because we'll be back for game two with our defense, and we know Donovan Mitchell will be better in game two, and he was pretty darn good in game one. And we know that Favors is going to show up, which he did in game two. And then we'll take this thing back to Utah, where we're very good at home. So OKC has to get a little more technical. It's something we've been talking about all year in terms of execution. And the question is, can they do it against the one team that they did not want to face, at least what they represent defensively in the Utah Jazz?
Brent Berry joins me for another moment or two. Brent, of course, you played for Greg Popovich in San Antonio. So what was your reaction when you heard the very sad news of the passing of his wife, Erin?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, Jim. I was going to bring it up myself if we didn't get to it. And I have to tell you, living here in San Antonio, it's been a very somber day and a half. The news was yesterday morning, but 24 hours at least here. And you know the way this town operates, Jim. San Antonio, one-horse town. The Spurs are everything to this community. And they believe so much in Pop and what Pop represents, because Pop goes out and gets these people that represent the community well. And I would just tell you that somewhere when Pop goes home from practice or a road trip, what he's going home to ends up being part of what it is that he represents the next day. And that is Erin Popovich. He was one of the sweetest, most kind, most generous women that I've ever been around, always there for the team, kind of like a team mom in a sense, because it's such a collegiate atmosphere here. And I'm not making light of this at all. Pop would tell you the same thing. We all appreciated her so much, because if you got somebody that could put up with Pop, that's got to be a pretty special person. And Erin was definitely that. So she will be missed here. I know Pop is not coaching the game tonight, which obviously is very appropriate, but heavy hearts in San Antonio, and she will be greatly missed, and we'll support Mickey and Jill, their children, during this time, and certainly the community outreach for Pop will be there.
Absolutely, and I appreciate your thoughts on that. Brent Berry is going to join Ian Eagle on the call of Game 4 between the Blazers and the Pelicans Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern on TNT, and TNT is all over our playoff coverage. Brent, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Always look forward to it, and always good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Romy. If you need me again, let me know, and have a great day. Great talking with Adam as well. Go Sonics.
Bones, you're the best. Thanks so much. How about that, Hawk? Great talking to Adam and Go Sonics. Brent Berry? That's incredible. Hawk, have you even ever heard of Brent Berry? I'll get caught up with you in a minute, Hawk. That's incredible. Not only is that an athlete, just ponder this. Marinate on this. Not only is that a big-name athlete that Hawk has heard of, that's a big-name athlete that has heard of Hawk. That was incredible. Wait, Alvin, did I hear that? Did Brent Berry just say, great talking to you, Romy, and great talking to Adam, Go Sonics? Did that just happen on this show?